It's Timmy time!
Bet your ass!
Yeah.
Timmy!
Yeah.
Timmy!
Yeah.
He's a little lamb with a lot to learn. He's always having such a lot of fun! To lamb with a lot to learn.
Things
on.
Yeah. All right. Quite the welcome. Fantastic. All right. Adam Carolla is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's got his own podcast. He's got a show coming up here. One of the funniest men in Hollywood. And during the later days when we were on KLSX, we weren't really booking a lot of guests and we didn't have a lot of commercials. And Adam would come on every Friday with us. And I said, hey, can you stay until the next commercial break? And he said, yeah, no problem. And sometimes he'd be on with us for an hour and a half, and we were really running no commercials. You know it's the end when a radio station runs no commercials for an hour and a half. All right, Adam Carolla is with us. Adam, how are you, bub?
Great, Timmy. Good to speak to you.
Nice to talk to you, man. I used to enjoy when you called us up on Friday, and I think that was the sign that it was going in a bad direction when we had no commercials.
Yeah, that people would say, how long are you going to be on Tim's show? And I'd go, I don't know, how long is this shit? Because he's doing 3 hours, I'm doing 3 hours.
That's right. That was great, man.
Tim's show prep was call Adam.
Right. I used to love the story, though, that you're sort of like me, or I'm like you, whatever, where you went on at 6 a.m. Over at the FM talk station, and you'd literally leave your house at, what, like 5:45, 5:50?
Yeah. Well, I developed this theory from doing Loveline all those years, right?
Right.
So I did Loveline for a decade. A little over 10 years, right?
Right.
And Loveline was 2 hours a night, 5 nights a week, right? And Dr. Drew used to get there 20 minutes, half hour early every night. And I would roll in as the theme music was playing for the show, like the opening theme. That's it. When you can hear the opening theme on your car radio and you're in the parking lot, you know, you're cutting it close, you know.
Right.
But I would roll in right as the show began, and then I would leave right as the show ended.
That's
and
great.
I would say, and Drew would always go, what are you doing? You're cutting it so close. I would say, look, you show up 25 minutes early every single night. At the end of a week, you have essentially worked an extra show. Because, and I say to this, I used to say to Jimmy, I'd say, Jimmy, you get to the airport 2 hours earlier than you need to every time.
Right.
I said, so every three times you get to the airport, that's the equivalent to you taking a flight to New York. Time-wise, let's look at it that way. So it's like Drew works 6 nights a week, and I work 5 nights a week because he got there 25 minutes, which, of course, added up to over 2 hours at the end of the week every
that's
week.
Great.
And that's just the kind of way I always looked at it. It was just door to door.
When I started with Doug Steckler, we would get there at noon. We didn't go on until 8. We get there at noon, 1 o'clock, do like 4 or 5 hours of show prep, eat, have a couple of drinks, do another two or three hours, and then do the show. And it was, and then we're doing 7 hours of prep before a 3 or 4 hour show. And then I said to him one day, I said, hey, why don't we get here 5 minutes before the show goes on? We'll try that for a month. And the ratings were exactly the same.
Yeah. So if there are any kids listening, never try. I mean, that's really the takeaway here. I mean, if there are young people gathered around the AM radio,
that's great.
They should, as they're apt to do. That's the takeaway from this conversation.
Hey, by the way, I heard the thing you did on horse racing, and you're exactly right. I don't consider myself like out the racetrack. You know, there's everybody I talk at the racetrack knows more about horse racing than I do. I'm still like the guy that's picking names of the horses because it reminds me of a friend's name, right? That's my handicapping.
Right.
But you're right. Those guys who know everything about horse racing, they even make me feel like an idiot because they know everything. They know what a furlong is. They know what the eighth mile is. They know where, you know, what a pole is, what a chain is, the trifecta and all that stuff. And they do. They hold that information over you because they think they're better than you. You're exactly right.
Well, I think lawyers do it, doctors
right.
do it, but they have education. The people to track have GEDs and alcohol problems. And so, I mean, like, at least Dr. Drew and Garagos have earned it. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the doctors, when they're explaining medication or any kind of disease you have, they nail it. You know, they look at a word that I could never pronounce and bang, they nail it every time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's like every therapeutic for COVID, Dr. Drew would just spit out rat-a-tat-tat, and I couldn't make heads or tails of it. But, you know, I used to be a carpenter, so I have all my chamfer bits and headers and, you know, bottom plates and, you know, king studs
right.
and trimmers.
It's amazing
and
you still know that. Do you know the names of the screws and the nails and all that stuff? It never goes away, huh?
You know, I stopped doing it for other people, but I did it for myself after I stopped doing it for other people. I just remod houses I was living in and stuff. So I never really got out of that world. So I was always kind of steeped in that world, even though it just kind of became a hobby after a certain point.
Right. But is like doing remodeling for your house and, you know, for yourself, is it like making a sandwich for yourself? It's like, you know, you want Art's Deli to make it. Like, can you see when you do like construction on your house, are you more of a perfectionist or you're more like, hey, it's going to be me living here. I'll let it slide.
You want the work to be really good because you're living in it. But what ends up happening is there's just parts of the job you don't want to do. Like, you don't want to bust out the stucco and you don't want to tear up the drywall. You want to come in and like set the door and then have someone else mix up the stucco mix. It's really, you want to do the good part. It's really a lot like sex when you get older. you want to take the walk to the dumpster. You don't want to have to deal with the dust and the mess. You know, you just kind of went, you found out there's parts of it you like more than others.
Right.
You know, and you kind of want to do those parts, you know, and then the other stuff you farm out to a day labor.
Right. Hey, when you grew up in North Hollywood, did you spend a lot of time at the most depressing mall, that North Hollywood mall where they had the ice rink and the Orange Julius?
Yeah. I sadly lived right next to that mall off of this dirt alley off of Laurel Canyon.
Out there.
And yeah, that was my mall. By the way, imagine this. I could imagine feeding this to my 14-year-old twins. Big Saturday night for me was going to the mall and going to the poster shop.
Right.
Not buying a poster.
Right.
Looking at posters that were on the wall at the poster shop and one day dreaming of owning the posters. Most people would look at the poster of the Lamborghini and go, one day I'm going to own a Lamborghini Countach. I thought one day I'm going to own a poster that has a picture of a car on it.
And they were on these big boards that you had to slide, like you're looking at Oriental rugs. And then,
yes,
you,
that's then exactly when, what it was.
And then when you wanted the poster, okay, B5, you look down empty, right? So it's second,
yeah,
third, or fourth choice.
Yeah, boy. Okay, give me Hang In There, Baby. The kitten hanging off the rope toy there. You got that one? All right. Yeah. Give me the Making Bacon then, if that's the two pigs humping. You have that one? No? The seat. And by the way, what used to pass for a poster? Like, and you can look it up. Your listeners can look this up. But
right.
There was a poster that I had that I put up on my ceiling, and it was called CZ Rider. It was a picture of a guy essentially popping a wheelie on a motorcycle. Like, you know, now guys are 14 stories in the air and doing
right.
a full Superman seat grab or whatever. This is a guy doing half a cross up with a little daylight under his rear wheel. Yeah. That place had the skating rink.
Right.
It had the taco. It had the taco joint at the beginning, at the front.
Right.
It had the poster. That's what my dad used to do. My dad would go, hey, we'll go to the mall. You can look at some posters of cars you'll never own. And when we're done, we can go across the way and you can go to the pet store and look at a bunch of puppies you're never going to have. But you can visit them at the pet store.
Well, you remember what happened to that mall? You remember why it closed down, or at least, you know, the Macy's survived. But the reason why it closed down in the 1994 earthquake, it basically fell apart.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had to close it down after that that earthquake.
Good. I feel like a Forrest Gump's girlfriend who went to go burn down her old house she was molested in. I just stood there and cried when That's they put great. The police tape around it.
The best times I ever had at KLSX was Friday night when you would call in, laugh my ass off, tears rolling down the face. It was one of the highlights of getting into radio. Really, truly.
Well, thanks, Tim. Let's do it again soon.
Okay, thanks, buddy. Really appreciate it. The Adam Carolla Show. All right, we're live on KFI AM 640. All right, a Pro Bowler has done something that no other Pro Bowler has done on TV in 30 years. And I said, wow. I said, Bellio, can you believe this guy? He got a 7-10 split. And her response was, yeah, my mom does that in her sleep. And I didn't know your mom was a bowler.
My mom was a bowler, was on many leagues.
Really?
And when I told her the Ginger Assassin, which is his name,
Ryan,
had the 7-10 split, her response was, I've done that.
Really? Wow. You know, I grew up around bowling around at my grandparents' house, the Brunswick Bowling Alley.
Yeah.
And my grandfather was a big, huge fan of bowling. We used to go and watch people, like, you know, the semi-pros come through town.
Well, that's
and we used to,
cool.
They shut all the lanes down except three, and we'd watch these guys bowl. And it was kind of cool. But when you go to bowling alley, you really want to bowl. You don't want to watch other people bowl. But it really is a great day out. Everybody enjoys it. You can be really crappy and still feel like you enjoyed the game. You can be really good, you know, and it's just the smell of every bowling alley smells exactly the same. I don't know how they did that, whether it's the pins, the balls, the lanes,
smell
or whatever.
Shoes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, foot spray that they use for the shoes.
Yeah,
the
shoe exactly. Spray. Right. And then they got that little tiny, it's always like three crappy video games in a row.
Yeah, in their arcade.
Yeah.
The worst little arcade in the
totally.
World.
Totally.
And then the concession stand is a guy with the most acne in the world. and I think that's how they hire him. And he just cooks he puts the cheese on those chips, gives
the nachos,
you a hot dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Nachos.
An icy machine. And
order up.
You're off, man.
Yep. And the lounge where all the adults are
right,
is
yes.
just filled with smoke.
Everyone's smoking. The ashtrays are overfilled.
Yeah. Yeah, you go through that little door behind where the concession is, where the food, and that's where the lounge is. There's right. a TV
yep.
on in
yep.
there.
Yep.
Right.
Still got the knob that you have to physically turn the channel to.
Right, and it's always the smallest door in the place.
Yes.
Like to get into that lounge.
You got to turn sideways to walk into the
right,
door.
Exactly, exactly. And then, and this is something I don't understand for the life of me. And it's every bowling alley I've ever been to in my life, but everyone, except for Bellio, didn't have one in her town. They have a pro shop at the bowling alley.
Yeah, how right? fancy
they sell
your
bowling balls. They sell gloves. They sell hats, shoes. And it's a little tiny little shop, right? Guess what? There's never been one that's been open.
What's the purpose of having
it? It's always closed. It's the lights are out, the balls are getting cold, the gloves are jiggling, the whole run. It's never open.
You know what our pro shop was? When you got your shoes, there was a glass case, and that was the pro shop.
Right.
Ooh, look at those gloves.
And then there was, you know, sometimes a restaurant attached to it. You know, there was always, the door into the restaurant. And then you come into the bowling alley, and there's something about that smell. Jenny, you grew up in the Cleveland, you know, northern Ohio area. Did you go to Brunswick? Were you a big bowler?
Oh, yeah. We had a league when we were little.
Yeah, isn't that, like ours was Wednesday at noon. And
yeah, it was one of those weird times.
Yeah, I looked forward to that all summer. Like the same as if I was going to Geauga Lake. It was that kind of fun, you know. It was a cool hang, but
yeah, Brunswick was cool.
Yeah, Brunswick was great. We had one outside. I don't know if you've ever heard the name Solon. You know where Solon is?
Uh-uh.
Solon is near Sugar and Falls, a little bit west of Sugar and
okay.
Falls. And they had a beautiful bowling alley there off 422 was the road there. I don't know why I know that, but bowling in the Midwest is huge. It's one of those things you can do with your kids. But then again, mom and dad can go out and have their own league. Dad has his own league. And it's a fairly inexpensive. Up until recently, it was fairly inexpensive. Now it's like you go there and you can spend $100, bowling for an afternoon. But I remember it was like 10 cents a frame and $1.20 per game, back when in the old days. And shoes were a quarter or 50 cents. And I'm not talking like 1910. I'm talking like 1975.
Yeah, it was really cheap to go. You could bring your whole family.
Yeah, right. But I'm not into the... the newer ones, they have that midnight bowl where everything is under black light and there's a smoke machine. There's, loud music. That's not the vibe that I'm into.
Did the bowling alleys you grew up with, did they have the two lanes? One was for duck pin bowling?
No, I've never heard of that. Yeah. What is that?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an East Coast Southern thing. That's the ball that's barely in your hands.
Oh, I've seen that.
Oh, yeah, they did that in
Maine. Pins are like 6 inches to a foot
to
haul.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, I think it's the same length of the alley, of the alleyway and all that, but it's just the ball's smaller and the pins are smaller.
We didn't have bumpers growing up. Now you can put the bumpers up for the kids.
I was going to ask if you use those.
No.
What's your score? What's your
My high score, I think, is like 238.
Hey, now. That's pretty dang good.
Yeah. Are you being serious?
I'm not kidding you, man. I got hot one day where I couldn't, I don't know, everything came together. But I usually am around 110.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah,
laugh at me.
Oh, that's about right.
About 110, maybe 120. Right, I'm not that good.
You used the bumpers, didn't you?
No. I honestly, God, it's one of those days where like everyone's like, wow, is this guy like a pro? I'm like, no, it's just one of those like one day in my life. All the stars and the planets lined up.
Every time you're up with the ball in your hand, everybody crowds around.
Right. It's never happened.
What was your name when you'd put up on the scorecard?
A-hole. We'll be right back with more. It's the Conway Show. Millions of peaches. Peaches for me. Millions of peaches. Peaches for free. Oh, what millions a great dog. Peaches, peaches for me. Big dog. Millions of peaches. Peaches for me. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. Ding dong.
Ding it.
All right. We used to have a guy who worked on this program named Mondo. Now he's gone off to do the Gary and Shannon show. And he has met the family, his donor family, right? Responsible for his brand new heart and his kidney. And what a moving moment that must have been for him. And Mondo's with us. Mondo, how are you, bub?
Hey there, Timmy. How you doing? I'm good. I'm great, man.
I can't believe you're still up at 8 o'clock,
Well, yeah, it's a little past my bedtime, but...
Are you doing the morning show with them, or are you staying on middays?
Oh, no, I'm staying on middays.
So, for people that don't know your story... you fought a lot of things. You've had cancer, diabetes, I think, right?
Yes.
Ingrown toenails or fingernails?
Both.
Both. Wow. Okay. This guy's a mess. Yeah. But you got to meet the donor family, the responsible for your heart and your kidney. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes. I met them over the weekend. They had a celebration of life.
Oh, man.
For my donor. Yeah.
And did you go to San Diego to do this?
Yeah, they had it in San Diego in Chula Vista. It was right by the bay. And it was a fishing place where it meant a lot to him because he loved fishing. My donor's name is Justin.
Justin, okay.
And it was one of his favorite spots for him and his friends to go fishing right by the Coronado Bridge. And so that's where they had it for him.
Oh, that's great. Now, were there other people? Were they able to supply his organs to other people and allow other people to survive through his donation?
Yes, I found out that they actually donated. I got his left kidney. His right kidney went to another person in their 50s, and his kidney went to. Oh, sorry, and his liver went to somebody else in their 50s as well.
Wow.
And they were going to use also his tissue. For other patients for females that have breast cancer. So, I mean, there's no telling how many lives he saved.
You must have been nervous as hell going down there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was going to be in a very emotional weekend. I was nervous, excited, just a lot of emotions going through my head when I first got invited to the Celebration of Life. And I was excited to go, but, you know, I knew it was going to be a very emotional weekend, and it was. But, I mean, thank God for everything. And I got to meet them, the whole family, and they're just they're amazing. They're amazing people.
And by the way, so Justin was only 32?
Yeah, he was 32, and he served in the Navy for 4 years.
Wow.
And just a great father, a great son, just very generous to his friends, and he had older siblings, and he was the youngest of three kids.
Oh, wow.
And I heard some great stories about, you know, family stories and just friend stories. And yeah, he was just an amazing guy. And today's his birthday.
Oh,
actually.
Wow. And so they weighed, I think the policy or the rule, or maybe it's, you know, it's not, it's just rule of thumb, or maybe there's some legal, you know, reason behind it, but they like to wait for a year before you meet the family. Is that true?
Yeah, that's what I was told. But they got in contact with me near Thanksgiving, and they sent me a letter. But I was told at the beginning that they would wait a year in order to contact each other, and that's through the hospital. So they contacted Cedars in November and sent me a letter just to introduce themselves. It was the older sister that sent the letter, and I responded back and right afterward. So as soon as I got it, I sent a letter back. I believe they received it before Thanksgiving. And then his sister contacted me again last month to let me know, to invite me to the Celebration of Life for Justin.
I see. And so how many kids did he have, and how old were they, or are they?
He has one daughter who I believe is turning four this year. Her name's Ella.
God.
Yeah, and a stepson named Aiden, who I believe was seven.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Maybe longer than that, but yeah.
And did they say, or did you ask how he had passed away?
Yeah, he unfortunately had a really bad asthma attack.
Oh, man.
And that caused a heart attack.
Oh, I see.
And it was just, you know, yeah, it was really, he had a really bad asthma. And bad asthma attack caused a heart attack.
And so did you meet his mom and his dad?
Yeah, I met his mom, Lori, and his dad, Tim, who's amazing people, just very, very nice. His older sister, Amy, who set everything up, contacted me, and his older brother, Andy. And his grandmother, Judy.
Oh, okay.
Justin was Judy's favorite. And he'd always help her out, putting up the Christmas lights.
That's got to be an unbelievable day. Did it? What time did it start, and how long did it go on? And I have like a million questions about this.
Oh, yeah. It started at about 11:30 is when they had people show up. And then at 12, they had since he served in the Navy, they had a military service for him. So they played taps. They did the flag folding. His sister spoke. His father spoke. And then his uncle, who was a preacher, said a prayer. And I believe it went on until about 3:30, just getting stories and just talking to everybody, just, you know, celebrating him. It was a really emotional day.
I
let them listen to the heartbeat.
Is that right?
You know, yeah. So,
I get goosebumps thinking about that, you know.
It's hard to express, you know, my feelings about everything, because I'm just so thankful for, you know, his sacrifice and for his gift.
Right.
And by the way,
you know, that's a party where you got to be on time, and you got to bring something, and you can't be the first one to leave. I mean, you got to be on your best behavior there, bub.
Yeah, exactly. I can't go out, you know, yelling ding dong.
Right.
Acting silly.
Yeah, you want them looking at you like, oh, boy, now we got this guy in our life. And so you got to meet the other two people as well that were recipients.
Oh, no, actually, they didn't show up.
Oh, they weren't there.
We had not heard back from them. Yeah, they weren't there.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, so it's a voluntary thing then. You know, some people are uncomfortable with that. And some people like you are very thankful in your own way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't know their situation.
Right.
I mean,
I'm sorry. I'm not judging. I mean, right. I am a little, but I'm not, you know, totally judging. How long did that go? All afternoon you guys just spent there?
Yeah, all afternoon we were there by the park. It was his favorite color was yellow, so it was all yellow themed.
Oh, that's cool.
And Padres themed, so everybody was asked to wear Padres gear.
Oh, that's neat. All right, that's cool. Right, excellent. Yeah. And is this going to be something that happens every year?
I don't know, but you know, I talked to his older sister Amy, and we built a relationship. So you know, they offered to invite me over for any family gatherings and stuff. So I feel like I have a second family.
Dude, but you do have a second family. I mean, you're alive now because of that family and because of Justin.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the most powerful moments of that Saturday was having his mom listen to the heart because she developed that heart. You know,
right?
She's the first one to hear that heartbeat, and for her to hear it again, it was just.
Did she get really emotional when she heard? It was
amazing. Yeah, I mean, everybody did. It was.
Oh man, that's somebody. Hey, can you stay with us? I'm asking him to stay with us, right? He's like some big celebrity. I don't practice Santeria. I ain't got no crystal ball. I had $1 million, but I'd spend it all if I could. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. Mondo is with us. He used to be one of our producers here, and now he's with the Gary and Shannon Show. Had his heart transplant last year, I want to say. When was it last year? Was it over the summer?
April 4th.
April 4th. Wow, you're already over a year.
Yeah. Over a year, yep.
Wow,
my year biopsy. Everything looks good and sounding good. So.
And how often do you have to go in to have it examined?
Next time I go in is going to be a year from now, and then I just do yearlies for the next 5 years, and that's it.
I see.
All done.
Do they get down on you if you show up and like out of your pocket falls a pack of half pack of cigarettes?
I've not done that, so I don't plan on doing that.
Yeah. All right. I'm just saying, right? Yeah. I don't know what goes on.
I leave those in the car.
I see. All right. So you met the donor family. By the way, do you know any history of heart transplants? Like when the first like successful one was?
Yeah. Are you talking about the first one in the world or the first one in the United States?
First one in the world.
In the world. I believe that was 1967.
Hey!
December 19th. Yeah, 1967. Yeah.
In South Africa. Nailed it, dude. Wow, you are up on
Cape Town, yeah.
Wish you had, you know, those facts when you were working with us.
Hello?
We can get him back on here. You there?
Yeah.
Hey! Hey, but that must have been really emotional. Are you going to keep in touch with the family then?
Oh, yeah, definitely am. I definitely am. It was very emotional, but just very thankful to meet them and to, you know, to celebrate his life with them. And also I want to mention that song you guys played first off, President of the United States speeches, that was his go-to karaoke song.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
And he was also a huge fan of Sublime, I found out.
Oh, that's kind of cool. It sounds like a great guy. I mean, he just ran into a bad, bad luck there with an asthma attack. And so his child was, she was probably 3 when this happened. Does she remember a lot about her dad?
He took her to the San Diego Zoo a lot. So I know they have that memory together. When I was talking to her, and she listened to the heartbeat. It was, I don't think she's still, I don't think she really processed what was going on.
Yeah, I know. When they're,
you know, because she's so young.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's tough. Buddy, I'm glad you got to meet the family. I know that meant a lot to you. And to thank, you can never thank them enough, but I know that if anyone could even get close, it's you, bub.
Thank you, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm incredibly thankful to get to meet them and to hear a bunch of stories about them. And just kind of hear what kind of person he was. You know, he was a great guy, and it's sad, but you know, he gave me the gift of life and gave to others, and countless other people. You know, gift of life too. So.
Oh, I know. Only is that family, you know, very thankful that his organs do live on to make sure that other people survive. But I imagine your family, is beside themselves as well. I mean, they now have a son. And and your girlfriend as a boyfriend, future fiance, future husband that is surviving because of modern technology. I think it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a blessing. And thank you again to everybody on the show, to you, Tim, to Sharon, Robin, Crozier, Angel, everybody, all the listeners, Russell, everybody at KFI, all the listeners, just for the support. You know, my girlfriend Megan was just a massive rock there for me with everything that was going on. Take me to treatment, to, you know, doctor's appointments and everything, and being there with me this weekend. You know, just I'm incredibly thankful for everybody, for everything they did. Yeah. You know, it means a lot.
Yeah, I imagine, because without Megan, man, you would have been lost, dude.
No, you don't even know.
Yeah. And God bless you and that family, man. That is a great story. Thanks for coming on, bub.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
All right. Take care, man. That is so great, man. So you imagine how emotional that guy was.
You know, he's been going through this whole thing for 2-3 years now.
Yeah.
I've obviously, like you guys have, had many conversations with him about this process and him going through it and him having the surgery last year. And throughout all that time, and hearing this story of meeting this family, I had a listener that emailed me during the first segment, asked me if I was an organ donor. And anytime I'd ever been asked that, I'd always said no. And that's true, because this weird thing where it's like, oh, I don't want him to. If I get into an accident, I don't want to be cut off because I want to use my organs for stuff. Right. So it's just kind of stupid stuff. And it just kind of set into me that I realized I am not an organ donor. And when they asked me that.
Oh, on your license.
Yeah, right. Or just at all. Yeah.
Right.
And so during the break, when it clicked on me, I went over to organdonor.gov. And
you signed up.
Yeah, I'm an organ donor now.
I bet a lot of people do that after they hear this story. You know?
Simple as that, yeah.
That's great. That is sensational. That is worth having Mondo on. But also, for the 2 years that it was happening, this seems kind of weird, but whenever I got a call from Robin, our boss, I always hesitated to pick up that phone, because I knew that it was touch and go for him a while.
Ooh,
with cancer and a bad heart and bad kidneys and in the hospital. And then when I would pick up the phone and she would say, what the hell did you do last night at 8:10? I'm like, oh, thank God. It's just her pissed off about something I said. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Oh, it must have been Bellio's fault, or Mondo did something or something. I don't know, but it wasn't me.
A year and a half ago, I in all honesty, I couldn't have imagined having the conversation you just had with Mondo.
I know.
And that just hits me all the more harder, him doing this weekend.
Yeah, I remember he sat me down after the show. He worked the entire show, right? Never mentioned anything.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend was here and Megan was here. And then after the show, I went to the office and they said he's suffering from cancer. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. And Mark Thompson was here that night. It was on a Tuesday. And Mark Thompson just lost it. He couldn't. He just fell apart. But man, that is so great that Mondo has met the family, and he's going to be around for years and years and decades because of Justin. So
it took me 3 minutes to become an organ donor.
Is that right? That's it.
That's it. Organdonor.gov.
That's great, man. I know. On my license, I'm an organ donor, but I'm not on that list. I should sign up on that list. All right, we're live on KFI AM 640.